we'll look forward to more of that joy and worship tonight at 5 o'clock. So thank you very much. Boys and girls, we'll see you tonight. Let me invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 2, please. And I'll begin reading at verse 4. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Father, we thank you for the joy that we share together in a message, in a story that just seems to live and live, continues to bless and bless, continues to speak to us, continues to draw us in, continues to change us. We continue to sing about it. We continue to read about it. We always celebrate it. What an incredible story. We always look forward to coming to it. And Father, on this day, take this story and yet again, let your Holy Spirit bring to us fresh revelation, encouragement, and joy as we come yet again to the story of the beginning of our Lord's birth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at different sides of Christmas. We've been looking at the inside story, which is the story of Jesus' genealogy. And the really twisted turns that we find in that genealogy, the kind of people who ended up in that genealogy, the kinds of stories that went with the kind of people that were in there. Who would have ever thought that with a genealogy like Jesus, that somebody like Jesus would actually come out of a family tree like that? Yet he did. Last week, we looked at another side of Christmas. The underside, the ugly side, the political side, all that was going on. People like Caesar Augustus and Herod the Great, and all of the political maneuvering that was happening even on the very night that Jesus was born. A chaotic world in a political mess. And just what we needed was somebody else saying, "A newborn king is here." And yet it was in that world, in the fullness of time, that Jesus came. Today, we'd like to look at another side of the Christmas story. This is the outside of the story. There's no way to read the Christmas story and not be confronted with the truth and the reality in nearly every line of it, every verse of it, that it's a really an outsider's story. It is not only a story that took place in the outside, it was a story for outsiders. I just want to mention several ways in which this story took place and outsiders were the ones who embraced it. Outsiders were the ones who were there. Outsiders were the ones to whom God sent his messengers. From the very beginning of the story, it's almost as if to me God wrote a list and he said, how many ways can I break the thinking of the people? How many ways can I surprise them? How many outside things can I do in this one story that most of them would never see? Most of them would never get as it unfolds before them. And you could make a fairly lengthy list of the ways in which Christmas is an outside story kind of event. One of the earliest ways that it is an outside story or a story for outsiders is the very fact that of all the people that were picked for this story, Mary and Joseph, outsiders, were the ones through whom God decided he would bring about his son. Mary and Joseph weren't on anybody's elite list. Mary and Joseph were not people who were looked to by the religious establishment. Mary and Joseph were simple. Mary and Joseph lived in a very simple kind of righteousness. Mary and Joseph weren't running a political campaign. Mary and Joseph just had dreams about their upcoming wedding. And I would imagine they talked about the family they would raise. And when God began to bring about this news and sent a message to both Mary and Joseph, undoubtedly each of them must have thought to themselves, this is going to be the strangest story to have to explain to somebody that anyone has ever had to explain. Do you not feel for Mary, wondering how she is going to explain her visit? How many of her friends have had visits from angels and said that because of the visit that they received news that they would be pregnant? Tell that to your dad. Tell it to your friends. Tell it to your family. I know Mary must have thought to herself, oh my goodness, can't we do this in a normal way? I'm really not that far off from this marriage coming together and it will be consummated. Can we not do this in a more normal way? And it's almost as if God said, no, we're not going to do this in a conventional way. We're not going to do this in a way that people could understand it. We're not going to do this in a way that's going to make it a lot easier for you to tell your friends and family what has happened. We're going to do this in an outside kind of a way. This is not the way that was taught to us in seventh grade health and PE. This is going to be another way. This is not the way that we had ever heard of any other couple having a baby. This is not the way that we have read about in textbooks and heard from our parents or teachers. The whole thing is in a way that only outsiders, only an outside invasion could possibly entertain a story like this. It is outside mainstream life. You would think that God would choose a place like Jerusalem and say, you know, this is where the people come. This is where the temple is. This is where the offerings are made. This is where we worship. This is where we sing. This is where the priests are. This is where the feasts are. This is where the pilgrims come. This is that beautiful, beautiful temple that we have built. One of the most beautiful places in all of the world. And people are coming there constantly. And so it would only make sense for God to look at all of the places that he would bring about his son, or he would have his son delivered, and say, you know what, Jerusalem just flat out makes the best sense. It's the most logical choice. And while everyone else was looking at Jerusalem, God's eyes wandered 6 miles down the road to a field, to a town that gets honorable mention at best. And it's not in mainstream Jewish life. It's not where the Walmarts are and the Outbacks and the restaurants and the AMC 24s. It's not where businesses are. It's not where people go to work. It's not where the cultural center is. It's not where the mall is. It's just off the beaten path. Only an outsider would ever get it. And God passed by one of the most populated places on the face of the earth. And took it to a cave in the field where there was little mainstream life, where there's little culture to speak of, where there was little way to get the news out. And interestingly enough, and surprisingly enough, God turned down the culture that was right in the palm of his hand to bring about the son of his birth in a culture, in a place that was hardly discoverable. And God brought about this birth not only in an outside manner of conception, not only in an outside culture or place of mainstream culture, he brought about this birth on the outside of religion. When you read through the Christmas story, do you ever think about who's not there? Do you ever stop and think to yourself, well, there's some people missing in this story? I mean, some big people. Some folk that you would think that given the nature of the story, that given the fact that the newborn baby is going to be born and his name will be Jesus and he will save the people from their sin, given the fact this is a Holy Spirit conception, given all of that, aren't there some people who are missing from the story? And you could look through the verses, you can look in the story, you can turn the page, and they're just simply not there. These are the people who would never miss a religious event. These are the people who, in fact, administer religious events and do ministry during religious occasions. For out in the fields, there was no priest. There was no physician. There were no temple employees. There were no religious staff.
There was not a pope or a preacher. There was nobody from the religious establishment in one of the most religiously celebrated moments of all history. Nobody from religion was there. Does that amaze you in any way? Do you think God was shocked? My word, I give them my son. Where are the religious people? Where is the institution? Where are the employees at the temple? Where is the priest? And not a single one is to be found. Can you imagine a Christmas story without religion in it? Can you imagine on that first night, on that birth night, after that long journey, there is not a single representative of the faith from the institutional side? But who was there? Some of the most non-religious, holy-less people that could be brought together for such an event. The outsiders came. The shepherds came. For the angels had not appeared in Jerusalem over the temple. The angels had not come to the priests or stood in front of the Holy of Holies and said, this night, make your way just down the road and I will show you where the Son is born. For the angels had come to the people of the night, to people working third shift, to people who, in as much as we know, would probably give anything to have another job, to do anything else on that night but what they were doing. Most of them were out in the fields because they were probably the youngest sons in the family. They were probably envious of their older brothers who got to do city work, who got to travel to Jerusalem, who got to set up shop, who got to work in the gardens, who got to make things with their hands, who had an office. They were probably night after night thinking, oh, why did I have to be the youngest of all the sons? For this now is my life's lot. This is what I have to spend my nights doing. Coming out here in the middle of the night, watching over these flock, protecting them, providing for them, caring for them. Who protects us? Who cares for us? Who watches over us? They must have thought to themselves, we are the most forgotten people on planet Earth. Nobody remembers shepherds unless something goes wrong, unless the wolves invade. Then they come. Then they call us out. But nobody remembers us at their Christmas parties. Nobody remembers us on their Christmas list. We don't get Christmas gifts. We don't get a Christmas card. We are the forgotten people of Christmas. We are the outsiders of the Christmas story. And yet, in this remarkable, incredible, unbelievable way, on this night, at this birth, only the outsiders showed up. They were the only ones that got the message. What an incredible thing to have to come back to. for those of us like me who live on the inside. What an incredible challenge for people like us, church people, who are very comfortable with life, with the routines and plans and schedules of Christmas that we look forward to and that we have fun with and that we enjoy, and they are all wonderful. And yet, at the same time, there is this ever voice of God saying to us on the inside, saying to us, Christmas is for those on the outside. Always has been. Christmas is for the outsider. Christmas is for those who don't get invitations to anybody's party. Christmas is for those who don't have a family to gather around them. Christmas is for those who get nothing in the mailbox. Christmas is for those who have nothing to unwrap. Christmas is for those who have no mall in which they can shop. For it is a story for the outsiders, the people of the night. And if I could draw a practical truth and reality, one I know I need to hear, probably above anybody else present, for my own self, it would be as if God is saying to me, Brian, do not forget. In all of the church stuff you do, in all of the church people that you see, in all of the meetings that you go to, that Christmas is for those that you rarely see. Christmas is for those that you don't know. Christmas is not so much so all the time for the ones that you are most comfortable with, for the beautiful place where you get to preach and share and worship. As lovely and joyous and as much as we celebrate and thank God for that, let us never forget that on that first night, Christmas not only took place outside, it was for outsiders. And God saw them come. As a matter of fact, He told them to come. He invited them to come. He said, just go. And my prayer for us is simple. In what ways do we as a church family that know each other and get to have fellowship together and learn how to grow together and can come together in the spirit of love for each other, in what ways does the Christmas story turn us back out to the original audience? For the truth of the matter is, Christmas is not about preachers trying to bless their congregations with another Christmas sermon. Christmas is about entire congregations saying, how do we bless the world outside? It's not about us just saying, this is just so warm and nice, and we feel so good about this. This is about us coming together and saying it's so cold and it's so dark in the lives and the hearts, in the souls of the people who are out there. This is the story that we share with them. This is the gift that we have for them. For God has a heart for the outside. And it started on Christmas night. It started in a manger. It started in a cave. It started in a field. It started with shepherds. As a matter of fact, if I read this right, it is exactly what Jesus ended his ministry with. For he did not say, come and just gather and enjoy being together. If my memory is right, what did he say? You help me out. I've lost my voice. He said what? Go. Go. Christmas never ends. There's always the outside. There's always the outsider. God has always had a heart for those who had never been on any list to come to an event like Christmas. Go. That's the Christmas story. How do we bless our community? How do you bless your neighbor? How do you bless your co-worker? How do you bless a friend? How do you bless the person across the street? No matter who they are, no matter what their faith is, no matter what they've done to you, no matter what they've said about you, how do we, the people of God, keep the heart of Christmas going all of the time, all year round, by the ways that we bless our community? For that always was the heart of the story. For those on the outside, come to see God. Look into the face of a newborn king. Let us not fall prey to managing the religious institution, that while we are busy being good religious people, we miss Bethlehem. We miss the birth. We miss the Christ who has come. For all of Jerusalem missed, all the temple personnel missed, and on that night, a baby was born. Let us decide right here, right now, that we at Ivy Memorial Baptist Church will not exist for ourselves, for we will surely die. We will exist for the outsider. And we shall ever live. For there is God's heart. That is our calling. Let me invite you to stand with me, please, as we pray.
Our Heavenly Father,
Christmas story has come to us in a different way. It is the story for the outsider. And it is so tempting for us to make it so religious, to confine it to who we are, to our preferences. Father, whatever ways I need to stop, need to repent, need to rethink this whole Christmas story. I pray that this year there'll be something new that emerges in me that brings me back to the reality of the very first night. This is an outsider story. Father, let me capture your heart. Rather take your heart than capture mine. And what Christmas has always been to you. And let it change us.
to be a church family that lives and breathes for the outsider, the stranger. For this is your heart. This is your story. This is your commission. We embrace it in Jesus' name. As we sing,